And open the House Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology for Thursday, March 15, 2007. And as first order of business, I'm going to announce that the public hearing on 2528 is being postponed until next Thursday at this time. Is there anyone here who was planning to testify on that who has a problem with that at all? Okay. And I won't open a public hearing on that. I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing on 2753. You want to give us a rundown on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2753 modifies the allocation of board members to the governing boards of sanitary authorities, water authorities, and joint water and sanitary authorities following a consolidation or merger of those authorities. Basically, the measure outlines on a percentage basis, we'll probably get some additional information, how the new consolidated board would be allocated members from the boards that previously made it up. So.
Okay. Would John Thomas come up and give us your testimony, please? Just identify yourself for the record and continue with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, fellow members of the committee. My name is John D. Thomas. I'm the general manager of the Sunrise Water Authority in Happy Valley, Portland, Oregon. The Sunrise Water Authority serves the city of Happy Valley in Damascus. It's approximately 22 square miles. We currently serve a population of 40,000 people, projected to grow to 120,000 to 150,000 in the next 20 years. The Water Authority was formed in 2000. It's the first major water authority in the state of Oregon, and it was formed by bringing two small water districts together. The purpose being to provide the infrastructure to meet the needs of that projected growth in the Portland area. Most of the growth in Portland in the next 20 years will be in the city of Damascus and the city of Happy Valley. Sunrise, in this particular case, the statute works. The Water Authority statute works. We're providing the infrastructure for this growth, and that's what the statute was intended to do. Sunrise is governed by a seven-member board that's elected by zones. And the reason it was seven members and the reason by zones is to provide maximum representation for that broad area of 22 square miles. It provided both districts with representation on the board. The Sunrise Board strongly believes that managing resources to provide maximum benefit for fish, water, and other stakeholders is very important, and this leads them to believe that consolidation with other districts is very key to the future of managing the Clackamas Water service area. Here's where the statute starts to break down. If, for example, Sunrise was to consider consolidation with a neighbor which has a population of 55,000 people, under the existing statute, the allocation of the new Sunrise board would be as follows. Sunrise would get two board members, the neighbor would get two board members, and the remaining board members would be allocated to the neighbor. So the final product would look something like this. Sunrise, with a population of 45% of the consolidated agency, would have two board members. The neighbor, with 55% of the population, would have five board members. That breaks down any future discussion of consolidation of the two agencies. Under 2753, the allocation would be Sunrise would get three, the neighbor would get three, and the last board member would be allocated to the neighbor, leaving three for Sunrise and four for the neighbor. That begins to be very plausible discussion for consolidation, and in fact would lead to those discussions. With Representative Schaffler and Representative Flores's proposed Senate or House Bill 2753 addresses Sunrise's concerns, and we believe would be the first step in additional consolidation of water providers in the Clackamas Basin. That's all I have.
Any questions? Yes, Representative Gerard.
Thank you. The question I have is, the bill, as I read it, if you have between 40% and 60% of the electors, and there's a merger, then you get two seats on a five-member board and three seats on a seven-member board. The bill seems moot about anything over 60%. So say that you had a merger for 80% and 20%. Can you explain how that would go through on this bill, or do you know?
It would kick back to the 20% then, the 20 to 40, which means it would be one board member.
Well, you get one up front.
For the first 20 or 40, up to between 20 and 40, you'd get one.
Each affected authority is to be represented by one member. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, it does, but this has to be rewritten.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else here to talk about this bill, your testimony on this bill? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on this bill. It sounds like we may have an amendment, and so I'm not going to open the work session at this point. Thank you very much.
Can you see what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay. See if we can figure out what to do.
Yeah.
One of us, we can do it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2527. And I'm going to close this and reopen as a work session, as a subcommittee, because we don't have a quorum on the dais at this point.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and member of the committee. For the record, I am fellow committee member Kim Thatcher, representative from Kaiser, representing Newburgh and St. Paul as well. House Bill 2527 is a simple little bill. I drafted it for a constituent. Unfortunately, the constituent chose this week to be gone. But it was designed to close a loophole in Oregon's public meetings law. And I think it's kind of fitting that this law should be heard during Sunshine Week. Sunshine Week is a national campaign calling attention to openness in government, and you may have seen a series in the Statesman Journal that they're running on this topic. This bill takes care of one of the shadows, so to speak, in the sunshine. Currently, governing bodies are required to provide for the sound, video, or digital recording or the taking of minutes at all meetings. That's Oregon Revised Statute 192.65. But hearings officers are not currently covered under this provision, though their decisions can have far-reaching effects. My constituent was a resident of Berkshire Estates in Kaiser. It was a manufactured home park. They learned that their park was being sold and they would be required to vacate. A land use hearing was held on the future of the park in front of a City Planning Commission hearings officer. And at the hearing, my constituent was told, that the hearing would be tape recorded and tapes would be available for $5. When my constituent returned later for a tape, he was told there was no tape because the equipment had malfunctioned. He was told that also no minutes had been taken of the meeting. But later, just a couple of days before the Planning Commission meeting to make a decision on the findings of the hearings officer, they miraculously found 20 pages of typewritten findings that the hearings officer had produced. Well, the findings, which were, by anyone else's definition, minutes, had detailed information about individual witnesses' testimony, leading to the, seemingly obvious conclusion that a tape had actually been produced, but the hearings officer simply did not want to make that or the minutes available on request. We were later shocked to find out that they were not even required to provide this because the hearings process was not subject to the public meetings law. The residents were left without a legal record that they needed and had no recourse because Oregon's public meetings law let them down. House Bill 2527 corrects this oversight in Oregon law. It says the governing body of a public body shall provide for the sound, like I said before, and this has to be in taking of all hearings conducted on behalf of the governing body and to which ORS 192.610 and 690 do not otherwise apply. In other words, if a governing body has someone conduct proceedings on their behalf, they have to make sure that the same protections are in place as if the meeting was of the larger governing body. And here we are with a miniature governing body right here in this room. It's kind of interesting that it would work out that way. The decision of the Planning Commission led to the residents of Berkshire Estates being evicted from the park. And I'm not, you know, whether that was a valid decision or not is not the topic, but I'm just saying that the meeting with the hearings officer played a major role in the decision of the Planning Commission, and many people lost their homes. So this is an important component currently missing from Oregon law. House Bill 2527 corrects a violation of the spirit of Oregon's public meetings law and sheds a little more sunshine in the dark. I hope we will send it to the floor with a unanimous due pass recommendation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Before I take your question, Representative, I just want to make note that even though we're in subcommittee, we're still being recorded. So, Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, good government is open government, and this looks like a pretty good bill to me. That's just a comment. I don't see any problem with it.
Well, I was going to say, Mr. Chair, if I could add just one observation. Even here in the legislative branch of the government, our practices are somewhat hypocritical. We use all these gadgets like Capital Wireless. We've got the Oregon Channel. We're broadcasting everything live, but we no longer do minutes. All we have is a tape log of our proceedings, or a tape of our proceedings. And the only written record of this meeting would be a tape log saying who is present, who's speaking, and what time. No mention of subject matter or any direction to that regard. If you want written minutes from today's hearing meeting, you would have to go and get a copy of the tape and get somebody else to transcribe it. You would basically have to pay somebody else to do that. And it's just a little sad commentary on how far we've come with technology, but we're not keeping up with the fundamentals of public record keeping. So.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Great. Thank you.
I also believe that this is a good bill, and I hope that we'll be moving in it later.
Great. Thank you.
I'm going to take a recess at this point, and we will reconvene in 10 to 15 minutes. I'm going to reopen this session of the House Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2509. Would you bring us up to date on that, please, Patrick?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chair. Thank you. House Bill 2509, the committee had public hearings on that bill on February 20th and February 22nd. Subsequent to that, amendments were developed, and they are in your packet. They are the Dash 3 amendments to the measure. What they essentially do, I'll give you a quick rundown on the effect of the amendments. The subsection 2 of the measure is addition of the requirement to have an electronic signaling device for paid guides is removed by the Dash 3 amendments. The existing statute for altimeters and compasses and contour maps are maintained. The changes to subsection 1 of the measure are revised as written on the Dash 3 amendments. They effectively say that an individual or at least one individual in a group who ascends above 10,000 feet on Mount Hood shall carry a two-way electronic communication device and one of the following: a GPS system receiver, a personal locator beacon, a Mount Hood mountain locator unit, or other comparable device. That last part leaves the language open so that future technology that's developed would be applicable as well. Based on a conversation with legislative counsel, the two-way electronic communication device will generally be a cell phone or a satellite phone, which are typically used by mountain climbers, or a radio. But the understanding of our drafter is that device would be capable of communicating with people at the base of the mountain. So potential rescuers. We had some conversation about whether it would apply to people with two-way communication within their group, but unavailable. It would have to be a device that could communicate with rescuers on the ground. Legislative Fiscal Office and Legislative Revenue Office have reviewed the amendments and indicate that there will be no fiscal or revenue impact for the measure with the amendments.
I would welcome a motion to adopt a Dash 3 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments.
Representative Gerard moves the adoption of the Dash 3 amendment to this, to House Bill 2509. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Has there been any public discussion on these Dash 3 amendments, or is there going to be?
There was public hearing on the bill. These are just technical fixes to that. Okay. And so we're going ahead with the work session at this point, unless there's objection. Is there objection to then the Dash 3 amendments are adopted? Do I hear a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2509 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gerard moves the House Bill 2509 to the floor as amended. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I kind of talked to you earlier. I thank the committee members who brought forth this amendment. I thank the good representatives who brought this bill forward and answered an apparent problem out there. I just have a hard time going with all the testimony that we had. I have a hard time going there, especially when I feel like it's more of an education issue and it's not getting really at the heart of the problem. And personal responsibility just has to enter into people's decisions. And frankly, I just want to see a little less government in people's business. So I'm not going to be supporting this right now.
Thank you. I'm going to call a 5-minute recess at this point. the order, and when we recessed, we were in work session on House Bill 2509, and the motion before the committee was to adopt, to send the House Bill 2509 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, would you call the roll, I'm sorry.
Representative Byer?
Excused.
Was there a motion to?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There was.
Representative Edwards? Aye.
Aye.
No.
Chair Riley.
Aye. House Bill 2509, having received the necessary votes, is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm going to assign Representative Lim and myself as co-carriers of this bill on the floor. With that, is there any other business that we need to consider? I'm going to adjourn this committee, and we'll continue on next week. Thank you very much.